Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
To start with a story. And it's a story that I heard just this past Thursday, and it's interesting about the way the timing worked out, because I heard a story, and I didn't think a whole lot of it, but then Friday happened. You see, Friday I found out that a friend from back in Nebraska died. I got to know him in Nebraska through my rabble-rousing about rights for LGBT persons. I showed up at a bunch of rallies and city council meetings and things, speaking on behalf of workplace and housing and residency protections for persons who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Things that, for the most part, didn't go the way that any of us had hoped, and yet there was quite a showing of folks, especially people of faith, who spoke in favor. And I got to know quite a few people as a result of some of that activism, and this gentleman was one of those. I also know that he was dealing with HIV/AIDS, and that's what ended up taking his life just this past Friday. The connection between the story and his death is because the story was told to me about someone who had HIV/AIDS, and so I'd like to share with you this story. This particular young man, well, he was a young man. He was in his mid-20s. I'm talking about the story, not the person that I knew. I just want to be clear about that. So as the story goes, this young man had, for most of his life, because not only because he was gay, but also because he had HIV/AIDS, had been shoved off, cast aside, told he was unworthy. He was excluded from his faith life, from his community, from his family. He was a person who, in a very real sense, had nobody. And can you imagine fighting such a terrible disease when you don't have any support around you? Can you imagine fighting such a terrible disease when everyone who talks to you tells you that you're not good enough, that they don't have enough room in their lives for you, and that even God doesn't love you? And so that was his existence. As his life began to come to an end, he met a clergy person, a pastor, who didn't ostracize him, who didn't cast him aside, who didn't hold him at arm's length. And they begin conversation, and it turns out this young man had a sense of faith, had a sense of something beyond him. And because he'd been so ostracized, didn't necessarily have many of the right words, or the words that we would say are the right words about it. He had this sense of something beyond him. He was passionate about a creator, a being bigger than him. And nearing the end of his life, he made an interesting request. You see, his health had deteriorated in such a way that he couldn't even eat anymore. That if he were to try to physically eat something, he would choke, and it would raise all sorts of new issues for him. And yet he asked for communion. And so this pastor, understanding the importance of caring for this man, offered communion, knowing that he would never eat it, and took a piece of bread and placed it in his hand. And his hand closed around it, and he hung on to that piece of bread. He hung on to that piece of bread so tightly that a few crumbs dropped out of his hand onto his hospital bed and onto the floor. And he hung on to that piece of bread through the night. and into the morning when he died. The only person to come and see him after he died was that same pastor, who saw that that lifeless hand was still clenched around that piece of bread. And as he was wheeled down the hall and out of that last room that he'd seen, the few crumbs still falling out of his hand from that piece of bread. If that's not receiving communion, I don't know what is. It parallels a story that I'd like to read for you from the book of Acts. Another story about someone who is cast aside, who is ostracized, who is told that they're not good enough, and who has the opportunity to participate in a sacrament. In the United Methodist tradition, we hold two particular acts as sacramental. One is Holy Communion that we'll celebrate today, and the other is the sacrament of baptism. We see them as means of grace, a special way that our hearts and minds might be open, especially to understand God's deep and powerful love for each one of us. And so hear now this story from the 8th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 26th verse. An angel from the Lord spoke to Philip, "At noon, take the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he did. Meanwhile, an Ethiopian man was on his way home from Jerusalem, where he had come to worship. He was a eunuch, an official responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace is the title given to the Ethiopian queen. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Ethiopian eunuch. I assume that you all understand the word eunuch, right? I don't have to explain that. Whew, good. If you don't know, you can look at it. Like, Google it and you'll get it. Okay. As a eunuch, this was a man who was not allowed in the special parts of the temple, the more worshipful parts of the temple, the more central parts of the temple. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't allowed, because of who he is, to worship fully in the temple. Now, it doesn't tell us whether he was born a eunuch or later, through some act, became a eunuch. We don't know. All we know is that because of who he is, he was told he's not allowed to worship fully in the temple. And I know that some of you have been told the same thing. It's already a tragic story. And yet look at what happens. Look at how Philip treats him. He was reading the prophet Isaiah while sitting in his carriage. The Spirit told Philip, "Approach this carriage and stay with it." Running up to the carriage, Philip heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you really understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "Without someone to guide me, how could I?" Then he invited Philip to climb up and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture he was reading. "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants, because his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water. What would keep me from being baptized?" He ordered that the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip found himself in Azotus. He traveled through the area, preaching the good news in all the areas until he reached Caesarea. Do you see how this story parallels the story of the young man who died from AIDS? Do you see how we can take either of these two roles in the story? Because we are all broken. We have all felt in some way, whether it's our own claim on ourselves or someone else's claim on us, that we're not worthy to show up in church. Whether it's because someone has told us that we're not accepted because we're gay or lesbian, we're not welcome because we like to hear drums in church, sometimes because we wear jeans in church, because we have tattoos, because we're too rich or too poor, because an isolated scripture says you can't teach in this church, based on gender, based on any of the ways that we divide ourselves. You're too old, you're too young. You're too this, you're too that. Any of us can understand the role of the Ethiopian eunuch. But we must also understand that any of us can take on the role of Philip. That we might recognize those who are pushed to the margins, those who are cast aside, and spend our time sharing our love and our faith and our hope and our peace and our joy. That we might spend our time with those who were told they're not good enough and say, let me tell you about the God I know. And to invite someone to participate, perhaps even in a sacrament that we know is a means of grace, a special way to experience God's grace and love. There's a scripture in 1 John that I'd like to read. It's from the fourth chapter that talks about how we might live out what Philip did. Beginning with the seventh verse of chapter 7. Dear friends, let's love each other. Because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love doesn't know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one's ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he has given us a measure of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love can be perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. And here's that connection to the question that we dealt with earlier. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates a brother or sister, he's a liar. Because the person who doesn't love a brother or sister who can be seen can't love God who can't be seen. This commandment we have from him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. We have all experienced moments where we have felt unworthy, whether we're the ones who tell ourselves that or someone else. Regardless of who tells us, it has an impact. And I think the truth about it is, on some level, none of us are perfect. We're all broken in some way. And so perhaps we might acknowledge, well, maybe we are unworthy. And yet God's love is big enough for us to understand it for us individually. Perhaps to experience the still small voice, the strange warming in our heart that reminds us that, yes, even we deserving or not, receive God's love and grace. And when we do, we have the opportunity to live like Philip and to share that love with those who are shoved to the side. In this way, I believe we can live God's love in such a way that the world can be made a better place. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we come to you acknowledging our own faults and failures, and yet knowing that you make us more than we are, that your love sustains us and perfects us and calls us to live as the body of Christ. And so give us that love that drives out our fear, that courage that gives us strength, so that we might live out the love that you give to us all. We pray in the name of the Christ. Amen.